is my firm foundation, the chief and cornerstone.
For God alone is faithful,
His promises are true. On Christ the solid rock I stand.
Choir. Wonderful message. Wonderful message. I invite you all to go before the Lord in an attitude of prayer. Gracious God, thank you so much for this time to be together and worship. Thank you for the scouts and their leaders. Thank you for each person who is here and for making us in your image and by your Spirit helping our lives to be clear images of Jesus living in our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for this time to celebrate who you are, to encourage each other in our walk with you. And we ask, Lord, that you help us and empower us by your Holy Spirit to not only reach out to others, but to show them how great is your love, and that on the solid rock of Jesus, we shall not be moved. Help us to offer each person whose path you have us cross the hope in you that we've received. Help us to always keep our eyes and our hearts open for the opportunities you give us to share your love and to be the image of Jesus at work in our hearts. Lord, as we think of friends and loved ones who are sick and struggling, we ask that you please heal them. Be with the doctors and nurses who care for them and give them your wisdom. We pray for their healing. We pray for them to know that you are the great physician. Please let them know how very close you are. For those whom we love who are in grief or in despair, Lord, please comfort them with your Spirit. Please reassure their hope in you. Be with them in the dark days and bring them to the light of your presence. And let them know you will never leave them alone. And Lord, for those we know who are separated from you, please bring them to repentance and salvation. Use our words and our lives to show them that you are the reason for our hope and our joy. Please save their souls. Please touch their hearts and their spirits and help them to reach out to you. And we ask, Lord, that you help us to continue to reach out to you as well. Please secure our faith. Restore our love for you so that we walk joyfully with you moment by moment. Lord, please be with the leaders of this world and help them to put you first. They make decisions that affect so many. Give them your wisdom. Please be with our president and those who work to help him as well. Please be with the people around the world who have lost their homes or their loved ones. Be with those who are struggling to survive, who are in need of food and security. And please bless and guide the families of this hurting world. Hold them close. Reassure them with your presence and your power and your love. And especially, Lord, be with the people who are being persecuted for their love and trust in you and who live in dangerous places. Help us to remember to pray for them. Help us remember to stand strong in your love and your presence when we are challenged for our faith in you. Lord, we continue to ask that you bring peace to Israel, your first chosen people, and that you grant them freedom and your justice. Lord, in all of these situations that we think of in our hearts and in our minds, please bring glory and honor to your name. And help us to bring honor and glory to your name through our lives and through our words and through our ongoing prayers, all to the name and glory of Jesus, who is the one Lord and only Savior of this world. Hear this as we pray together, as Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare to receive the morning offering, Scouting Ministries is one way that we are able to work together in the lives of young people and in the lives of community to make a difference in the world, to introduce God to people who might not otherwise know him. The different ministries of the church are focused that way, to help people to come to know the love and the presence of a gracious God. The Easter egg hunt that we'll be having, all of the ministries that we conduct, the worship service, the special emphases we have, are all ways to be able to make a difference in the community, in the world, because of Jesus making a difference in our lives. Our tithes and our offerings, whether they're given on site or online, are all ways to show God how much we love him and trust him to provide for us in all of our ways and in all of our deeds. So as the ushers prepare to receive the offering in the pews, in the seats, I encourage you to reflect on all that God has done and how God has blessed you. Would the ushers please come forward? Lord, we do thank you. We give you praise, we give you honor, we give you thanks from the bottom of our hearts for who you are, for who you call us to be and enable us to be, and for the generous love and abundance with which you provide for us each and every day. Thank you for these tithes and offerings. Thank you for the ministries of this church. Thank you for the scouting ministries that we partner with, and thank you mostly for Jesus, who walks with us and guides us and directs our steps in all that we do, so that we might truly give glory to you and be an image of your love and of your grace and of your power. All this we thank you for and pray for in Jesus' name. Amen. Our New Testament lesson comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verses 2 through 9. Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice from the cloud, "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Today is that day in the church year where we celebrate what's called the Transfiguration Sunday. It's the day when we get to see, like Peter, James, and John, that Jesus, who was completely human, is also completely God. The Bible said, and I quote, "Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them." Unquote. That scripture has to do with being in the presence of God. Prayer is how we stay in the presence of God. Prayer is how we stay connected with God. Prayer puts us in the presence of God and is how we practice listening for God's direction and purpose in our lives. Hasn't been too long ago that we celebrated Christmas, and the biblical message from Christmas, it's a message that lasts all year long, is the message that God is here with us. Jesus, our Savior, is God's self-revelation. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23 calls Jesus Emmanuel, which means God with us. That's what the word Emmanuel means, is God with us. Jesus came to earth, and he lived, and he died, and he rose again to prove to us beyond any kind of a doubt that God is with us now. God is present with us now and in all the times and in all the circumstances of our lives. It's God who waits for us to turn to him so that he can direct our steps and so that he can walk with us and we can walk with him each moment. It's a little bit unnerving to think that God is always present. Even when we don't see him because of the sin or maybe the grief in our lives, even when it seems that God has abandoned us or maybe has turned a deaf ear to our prayers, even then, the Bible promises that God is present with us. God's not off watching from a distance somewhere. And God is never, ever too busy to be involved with the likes of us. God is never too busy to listen. If anything, what I have found out is that the greatest tragedy and the greatest sin in our lives is when too often we try to keep God at a distance. We try to separate God from what's going on in our lives. Too often we try to remove ourselves from God's plan because we're too busy. I've found that sometimes we love the things of this world more than we love God's purpose for our lives. Sometimes the things of this world compete with God's purpose for our lives, and we're left having to choose. The first mark of a disciple of Jesus is to recognize that God is here. I found that when you're aware that God is right here with you, you don't hesitate to talk to God. You don't hesitate to have an ongoing conversation with God just like you would a friend. No fancy words, no special postures, just the continuation of a heartfelt, continuous conversation that you have with God from morning to night. Instead of texting your friend on your cell phone, you call God. You just talk to him. He's listening, and he's always there. In today's scripture, Jesus and a few of the disciples were up on the mountain, and suddenly they found themselves in the presence of Moses and Elijah. Some might say that this was an apparition or even a vision of these two men who had died hundreds of years ago. In Mark chapter 12, 26 and 27, Jesus proclaims that God is the God of the living, not of the dead. Jesus said this, I quote, "Now about the dead rising, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the account of the bush, how God said to Moses, 'I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. You are badly mistaken.'" Unquote. That's what Jesus told the disciples. The words of the Bible are always true. If Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were dead, God would have said, "I was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." But God did not say, "I was." God said, "I am." Someday our bodies are going to die. That's the fact of the matter. When we die, our spirits will live on. We choose where our spirits will live on. And the best way for us to live on forever in heaven is to always be prepared to answer to the living God. Amen. Moses and Elijah were quite alive and really there, and Jesus was talking with them. The disciples knew and recognized Jesus, but they had never seen Moses and Elijah. It was God alone who opened their eyes. It was God alone who made the disciples able to recognize who Moses and Elijah were. Moses was the great Old Testament deliverer of the Israelite people from the slavery they suffered under Pharaoh in Egypt. It was Moses who personally received God's law and commandments on Mount Sinai. Those laws were given to Moses and the Israelite people by a holy, righteous, and loving God who demonstrated his power and his presence as he led the Israelites out of the slavery of Egypt and into the promised land of Canaan. It was God who did that through Moses. Elijah represented all of the prophets who prepared the Israelites for the coming of the Messiah. God had promised the Messiah, and the people were waiting. In the books of the prophets in our Old Testament that we can read, in the books of the prophets are the prophecies about Jesus and his future coming into the world. Those prophets were the people that God chose to speak through and to write down exactly what God had said. When the Israelites strayed from God, it was the prophets who spoke out. It was the prophets who told them to repent. It was the prophets who told them to turn their lives to obedience to God. Elijah called the Israelites to turn away from their obedience to the popular and fashionable pastimes of their day that were leading them away from God. Elijah would tell us the same thing. Elijah called the Israelites back to God. Elijah and all of the prophets told the Israelites about God's love and God's faithfulness to his people, and they gave them stern warnings regarding their blatant disobedience and rebellion and rejection of God's word and God's commands. It was in preparation for the coming of the Messiah. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 19, hear this quote, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of the pen, will any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Unquote. Those three men, Moses and Elijah and Jesus, shared some things in common. Moses and Elijah and Jesus were talking about the deliverance that Jesus was about to accomplish. God used Moses to deliver his people from bondage and slavery in Egypt. And Jesus would deliver God's people from bondage and slavery to sin. God used the prophets and God used Elijah to call people back into a right relationship with God. Jesus, who never sinned in his life, would perfectly and completely restore our relationship with God by personally receiving the punishment and becoming the sacrifice that God requires for sin. That's why we call Jesus the perfect Lamb of God and our personal Savior. Moses and Elijah, they were highly respected by the Jews. They were highly respected men. And yet in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the disciples, Peter, James, and John, saw beyond any kind of a doubt that as respected as Moses and Elijah were, Jesus outranked them. Jesus was far superior. It was on that mountain 40 days before the crucifixion that Jesus was proven to Peter, James, and John to be the Messiah. The long-awaited, long-promised Messiah, the only Son of God. Jesus, the fulfillment of both the Old Testament law and the prophetic promises. It was proven. Transfiguration Sunday, that's today, is always held on the Sunday nearest Ash Wednesday. Ash Wednesday begins the season of Lent. Lent is that 40-day period for us to reflect on Jesus' lordship for ourselves. It's an opportunity for us to intentionally turn from our own sins. It's a time to realize that it's only by facing our sins, admitting that we are separated from God, inviting Jesus as our only Lord and Savior to forgive us for our sins, and then with God's help, turning away from our sins. That's the only way that we can truly and completely participate in the season of Lent. And only by participating in the season of Lent can we truly and fully understand and appreciate the resurrection of Easter. God is here now. God is helping us to continue to become followers of Jesus who are God-focused. God wants each one of us to pay attention to Jesus. And putting God first means that we willfully choose to obey God all the time and in every way, regardless of our feelings, regardless of what happens to be fashionable or popular in the day, regardless of whatever distractions are around us, to put Jesus first. And the key word in all of that is now. living in the now. It's the only time we've got. Trust Jesus. Trust Jesus with your feelings and your memories about the past. Trust Jesus with your fears about the future. And live to serve God today, day by day, one day at a time. And you can stand on the promise that no matter what the future holds, you will be held safe and secure in the gentle and loving hands of the living Almighty God, God who holds the future and you. Glory to God. Amen. Please pray with me. Lord, open our eyes. Help us to see Jesus. And help us to live so that people see Jesus in us. Help us to trust you. And help us to know that because of your great love for us, you are with us right now. We don't have to go it alone. Help us to follow where you lead, moment by moment. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.